Now we're going to talk Melbourne Victory. So in the lead up to Christmas, we had the weekly chat with the chief executive, Trent Jacobs, who's in the studio in Melbourne. Trent, welcome back to SEN.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me, Jared, and a belated Happy New Year to you.
And indeed to you. So second on the table, 4 points adrift of Perth Glory. How's the, what is it, about 6 weeks since we sat together. How's the interim period been?
Oh, look, it's been a very busy period, to be honest with you, Jared. We've had a heavy cluster of games during January, and I'm pleased to say that we've continued to accrue points. We probably, you would have watched from afar and seen some difficulties we've had with injuries. So marquee player Keziké Honda and a number of international players, unfortunately, have suffered some injuries, but they are slowly coming back online, and only 4 points adrift. Hopefully we get some return of players, and it's almost like getting a few new players in a transfer window. So as we project forwards, mate, things are looking okay.
Just give us the context around Honda. So how long has it been now?
I think he has missed 8 games, Jared, and I believe that's about 5 weeks. And we, as I mentioned, we had a number of midweek games during January, so the timing was far from ideal. And it's quite a strange injury where he has actually had a strain on the medial side of his hamstring, so it's probably warranted a little bit more care, and it's a little bit of an uncommon injury. But I'm pleased to say that he is very, very close to reintegrating with the group, and we hope he's back on the pitch very soon.
How fraught is it when your marquee international signing, who'd been such a roaring success at the start, really set a good marketing tone, a good public tone, a good football tone, is missing for a period of the season?
Oh, look, undoubtedly, I'd be lying if we said that it hasn't impacted us. But what has been pleasing is we've really seen the emergence of Ola Toivonen and started to see his real quality. I think he's now registered 10 goals for the club. And a number of games consecutively scoring, and a number of other players have stepped up. So look, through this really busy period, and as you know, in Melbourne, summer period for sport is just jam-packed, and there's so many options for people. And we've managed, I think, to almost average 20,000 at Amy Park over the course of the last 3 weeks. So, in terms of the engagement and people coming out and supporting Melbourne Victory, even without Keziké Honda, it's certainly still there.
Holding your place is such a thing at the time of the year, as you've said. So your crowds are. So the TV number which leapt off the page, the Foxtel number for the Big Blue. So there's probably 3 marquee regular fixtures is your derby, the Sydney derby, and the Big Blue.
Yep.
And the Foxtel number was 31,000. Then there's a Freedom Air number as well. Were you a bit alarmed when you saw that?
Yeah, I was a bit shocked, if I'm honest, and probably hasn't been consistent with our games throughout the year. I know the numbers are down, and as you would know, a lot of the sporting numbers, broadcast and attendance for that matter, are down. So we're very pleased that we're holding strong. We're a good sort of 10 to 15% up on crowds this year. And as you referenced, that may well be attributed to, you know, some of our international signings and no doubt our on-field form. But it is concerning. Again, it was in the midst of a long weekend. Obviously, the women's final across the road from the Australian Open, and not to make excuses, but there are some reasons why that may have been the case, and it was a sharp drop from what we've seen. So we're certainly hopeful in the build-up to the next couple of games with Central Coast next and Perth Glory, which may well be top of the table on the 10th, that our TV audience certainly bounces.
How challenging is, so league-wide, not club perspective, how challenging is the TV space proving for the A-League this year, where the numbers have plateaued, but they do, I think by any measure, they're now in decline?
Yeah, look, I think year on year they're down now. So, it is an issue, Jared. And as I mentioned, it's an issue for a number of codes. Well, I suppose we're focused on us, and it's certainly something that is being discussed in CEO meetings, and no doubt trying to be addressed in a range of different ways. As an example, as you reference our Australia Day game, you know, we do a whole host of things that we think adds value to broadcast, like, you know, we streamed citizenship ceremonies, we had halftime acts. There's a whole host of things we are trying to do, and I know Fox are working really hard with the FFA, but and it's something we just simply have to continue to work on to see that growth again, Jared.
You're heading down to Geelong, and you've got a game there. What is it, in March?
Yes, we have. Yeah, so we'll actually head down to Geelong, Kevin and I, today, and launch that game in early March. I think it's the 2nd of March. So we reintegrate there. We've played down there on for the last 5 years, mate, and we're looking forward to hosting Newcastle down the road and getting that game up and running.
So what does Geelong look like with So Western Melbourne, the last time we spoke, we were still awaiting who the franchise, who the expansion teams were going to be at Western Melbourne, and obviously they have an idea that they're going to have a temporary home down in Geelong. Does that mean this might be your last game down the highway?
I don't think so. Look, it's something that we've made a commitment to Geelong, and we're keen to continue with that commitment. So we see a future down there for us. We know very little about the Western Melbourne bid and how they're going to progress forward. So our intent is to continue to have a focus down there and have a presence down there, and we'll work with government, Cadinia Park Stadium Trust and the FFA on ensuring that happens. And as we learn more about Western Melbourne, perhaps some more will unfold. But our intent today is to continue working down that way and continue the good work with our partners and community partners like junior clubs and schools who have undertaken over a period of time.
Do you feel like you've planted enough of a flag down there to, if it is a transient period of Western Melbourne, that you would hold what you've grown so far?
I think so. Look, our members have demonstrated they're keen to go down there. We end up with sort of 8,000 members driving down the highway to be a part of that game, and we've sort of averaged 16,000 crowds over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. So, and certainly that sort of central Geelong have certainly supported us from a ticketing perspective, and it spans out to the Ballarone and Surf Coast. So, look, we certainly hope so. And as you know, we've now had 14 years, moving next year into our 15th year in the A-League. So, and we've certainly got quite a strong member base down there too. So we'll continue to look to capitalise on that and assess things. But at the moment, our commitment's to Geelong.
Did you wonder for about 48 hours whether Kevin Muscat might have been on his way towards national duties with the intensity around the rumours that the national job coming up?
No, I didn't, to be honest with you.
Graham Arnold was obviously linked to that Scottish job, which he's quashed today. But for about 48 hours, that seemed to have a bit of momentum.
No, look, I must say I didn't give it too much thought. Kevin's doing a terrific job for us at the moment, and it wouldn't surprise me for others to have interest. But Graham's obviously quashed those rumours today, and we're squarely focused. And no doubt Kevin is the same, mate, on outcomes directly related to us at the moment.
Has he got the qualities to your eye, Kevin, to lead the country one day?
Yes, I think he has. I think he has. And I think one thing that we know is that the longer you're in any job, Jared, you continue to get better at it. And I think what we're seeing with Kevin is a really maturing quality coach who continues to get better year on year. And I think he's demonstrated his adaptability with game style this year. I think he's undertaken a fantastic recruitment process. And if we can get our best squad on the park over the course of the remaining games of the A-League and building into the Champions League, I think we're going to be really, really competitive, and hopefully can bring some more silverware back to Melbourne.
If you take the bigger view towards the Socceroos, it was a disappointing Asian Cup. Lost the first game out in the quarters. Team that beat Australia then got hammered. Asia's become a bit more fraught for Australia in recent times. How did you absorb that tournament?
Yeah, look, I no doubt that the FFA and everyone involved in the national team setup would be disappointed. I think that they had a few things not go their way, as you recognise. They had some injuries to crucial players at difficult times, and probably didn't have their best team on the park. It's no doubt going into that Middle Eastern environment, weather-wise, that can be challenging as well. So would have been a new environment for a number of players. But I think that overall, they perhaps would have fallen short of a pass mark. They really would have wanted to get to the semis and beyond. And Graham made it clear in the build-up to the campaign he wanted to go back-to-back. So unfortunately, it's probably fallen short of expectation.
It's going to make... I mean, it does put an interesting light on World Cup qualification. So I think once you start to do it, so it was the impossible dream for Australia for a long time, you start to do it, then you expect that it's going to happen. They take a long time to qualify, which caused all sorts of resentment and, you know, panic decision-making, I think. And Ange Postecoglou ends up finishing up. But it looks like a pretty solid reality that the path through Asia to a World Cup is going to get trickier by the campaign.
It appears certainly from abroad and as you consume as well, that the teams are getting better in Asia. And we see that through the AFC Champions League, particularly on the west side of the draw, that a lot of the Middle Eastern teams continue to improve. And so it is going to be more difficult. And that was absolutely demonstrative in in the qualification phase in the build-up to the last World Cup. It's getting tougher.
The biggest story in football, Trent, has been the sacking of the Matildas coach, Alan Stanich. What did you make of it?
Look, I think like most, I don't have a lot of information on it, if I'm honest. And probably came as a bit of a shock to me. But I think the big picture, Jared, is that, and I think the shared interest of all Australians is ensuring that the preparation for our Matildas is absolutely of the highest standard, which gives them the best chance to have a successful World Cup campaign, which to me means that high-performance team and coach needs to be in place very, very quickly to ensure that's what they're afforded.
Do you think the football community and then the broader sporting public so I reckon you could make the case in recent times that the two teams regarded with greatest affection are the Boomers and the Matildas, that this would happen around the Matildas. Do you think there is a need for greater transparency than there's been?
Look, I think there were a lot of questions, yes. So, again, I don't know the intricacies of how that was being managed and what information was found and not being able to be shared. But the fact that the narrative continued and probably continues to today demonstrates that there are some questions, that perhaps weren't answered. And I think the FFA now need to move very, very quickly to, as I say, restore the preparation for the Matildas and give them the best chance of success, because as you referenced, they are a much loved team, and most importantly, you know, they're ranked in the top five in the world and are going to be a really, really good chance of potentially achieving World Cup success.
Do you have Victory players who are regular members of the Matildas?
We do.
Were they perturbed?
I haven't spoken to them directly about this particular matter, so I know that they were called to Sydney the Monday, Tuesday following for a series of meetings, and if I'm honest, I haven't addressed that with the girls, but we certainly have girls in the system, yes.
It has been... it feels a bit like own goals from the FFA at various stages, and on Facebook, just the handling of it is... It is difficult to have the ironclad view without the right level of information, but I feel like it has been damaging to the sport. Not, I sort of take it that you feel a little bit that way also, without putting words in your mouth.
Yeah, no, look, it's hard to comment because, as I said, I haven't got the information and many haven't either. So, the fact that it's run as long as it has, Jared, I think probably speaks for itself.
So on the road this Saturday?
We are, yeah. We head to the Central Coast Saturday for another big game. The 3 points are very important. As you referenced, it's a bit of a logjam at the top, which is exciting for many, but it means that picking up points at every point along the way is very, very important. So Central Coast on Saturday, returning to Melbourne for what I think will be top of the table against Perth Glory on the 10th. Our girls are going particularly well, Jared, and remain on top. So they're actually overplaying Sam Kerr's Perth on Friday night and then have a midweek game against Canberra in the build-up to our first finals campaign for a number of years, which we're very excited about.
Terrific. Good on you, Trent. Travel well down the highway. I'll see you back in the studio in a couple of weeks.
Look forward to it, and you enjoy over there, Jared. All the best.